Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. We appreciate your presence this morning. We want to look at a statement that Jesus makes in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 concerning the parable of the sower and his statement there about the seed falling on the good and honest heart. What is the good and honest heart? When we think about honesty, we typically think about telling the truth. Someone who tells the truth, they do not tell a lie. They do not engage in cheating. They do not steal. And that certainly is honesty. But honesty also involves an attitude toward the Word of God, where we want to be fair with what we have heard and honest about hearing it and understanding it and obeying it. Honesty also involves what is fair and right and sincere. It's a straightforward and frank and open approach to the truth. Do you have that, friend? Are you fair with the Word of God? Do you have a sincere attitude toward the Word of God? Are you honest about the Word of God in your life? And if you need to make changes, you do that and try not to cover it up. I can tell the truth and still not have an honest and good heart. You can tell the truth to somebody else and still not have an honest and good heart when it comes to the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8, when Jesus was telling the parable of the sower, he said that some seed fell on a good and honest heart. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, when a great multitude came together and they of every city resorted unto him, he spake by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it. And others fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And other fell into the good ground, and grew, and brought forth fruit a hundredfold. And as he said these things, he said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then later, a few verses later, in verse 11, he explains the parable of the sower. Now the parable is this, verse 11, The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And they in the good ground, these are such as have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. I want to talk about the honest and good heart. What is that kind of individual? Who is that kind of individual? Well, Jesus tells us that they have some characteristics. First of all, an honest and good heart is a person who's attentive. It's an attentive heart. Jesus said they hear the word and accept it. They're attentive. Number two, they are discerning. They understand the word. They listen to what is being said and they understand the words and they want to make application. Number three, they are a convicted heart. They hold it fast. They don't just let it go after they hear it. They want to obey it and be committed to it. A convicted heart. And then finally, an honest and good heart is a productive heart. They bring forth fruit with patience. They hear it, they're attentive. They understand it, they're discerning. They hold it fast, they're convicted. They bring forth fruit. They are productive. Friend, do you have an honest and good heart when it comes to hearing the Word of God? Sometimes people will hear the Word of God over and over again and they won't do anything with it. They will read it. They will hear it in a sermon. They will hear it like on a radio program like this, and they'll do nothing with it. It's the very Word of God, but they don't feel compelled to make any change in their life. They don't have an honest and good heart. They don't want to honestly accept the message and make a change in their life. And so that's what I want us to talk about this morning. I want us to talk about how that we have examples in the Bible of those who were dishonest. They heard the message, but they didn't want to make any changes. And then those who are truth seekers and they are honest and good, and they really do want to make changes in their life as they hear the Word of God. First of all, I'd like to talk about those whom Jesus preached to and the apostles, and they were dishonest. They didn't want to accept the message of Jesus and His apostles. Let's look at a few examples of that in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, Matthew 21, 25, Jesus talks to the scribes and Pharisees. Many of them were dishonest, and He said to them about John's baptism. They would not obey John's baptism. And when He asked them about John's baptism, they just simply didn't give an answer. Matthew 21, verse 25, the baptism of John, whence or where was it, from heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves again, saying, if we shall say from heaven, He shall say unto us, why then did you not believe Him? But if we shall say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we know not. They just didn't want to face the truth. They didn't want to give an answer for why they had not obeyed the baptism of John. They were not honest and good in their heart. There are some examples in the book of John. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 46. The officers said, never a man so spake, talking about Jesus. The Pharisees therefore answered, are you also led astray? Hath any of the rulers believed on Him or of the Pharisees? But this multitude that knoweth not the law are accursed. They didn't want to believe and obey Jesus. They didn't want to follow Him. In John chapter 9 and verse 27, after Jesus healed the man that is born blind, He said, I told you even now, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Would you also become one of His disciples? The man told the Jews about Jesus, and they didn't want to listen. I told you, and you did not hear. They didn't want to accept the truth about Jesus. In John chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we find something similar. The Jews therefore came round about Him and said, how long dost thou hold us in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. So they're just not being honest. They don't need more information. They don't need more truth. They just need to be honest and good and obey what has been given to them. In John chapter 11, after the raising of Lazarus, in John chapter 11 and verse 45, many therefore of the Jews who came to Mary and beheld that which He did believed on Him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. They wouldn't believe the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. In John chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, later, the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They tried to get rid of the evidence. And so we have a problem here, just being dishonest. You know, Peter and John, after the day of Pentecost, when they're preaching in Jerusalem, they faced individuals who just were not honest with the truth of God's Word. In Acts chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, after Peter and John had worked miracles and had preached, some of the Jewish leaders said, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been wrought through them and is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, that is, in the name of Jesus. And they called them and charged them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. You see, they couldn't deny the miracle that had been done and the truth that had been preached, but they were dishonest and they just simply didn't want to accept it. So they tried to get rid of Peter and John and threaten them and put them in prison and so forth. Some people just are not honest. When Stephen was preaching in Jerusalem, he faced some Jews who just simply were not honest with the truth. And after he preached to them in Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, the text says, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. They just did not want to hear it. And some people are like that. It wasn't anything wrong in the message. It wasn't anything wrong in the messenger. It was the people who were receiving it just were not honest. And it was easier for them to kill Stephen than to exercise honesty and obey the truth. And sometimes that happens a lot today. You'll show someone the truth of God's word or the evidence of God's word, and they lack intellectual honesty to accept the truth. They know it, but they purposely reject it. Not only did Jesus face dishonest individuals, or Peter and John or Stephen, but Paul, when he was preaching, the Apostle Paul faced dishonest individuals. And we find that that is the case when he's preaching in the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. When he's preaching in Iconia and Lystra and those regions, we find in Acts chapter 14, verses 2 through 4, as Paul is preaching in the synagogue, verse 1, they entered into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both Jews and Greeks, believed. Those folks were honest. But the Jews that were disobedient stirred up the souls of the Gentiles and made them evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore they tarried, speaking boldly in the Lord, who bear witness unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and a part held with the Jews, and a part held with the apostles. And when there was made an onset, both of the Gentiles and of the Jews, with their rulers, to treat them shamefully and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled into the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the region round about, and there they preached the gospel. And so we find that there were some who believed and were honest, and there were many who were not. And really, Paul finds this a number of different times and places in his ministry. Another example of this is found in Acts chapter 19 and verse 9, when Paul was preaching in the city of Ephesus. And we find in verse 8 that he reasoned and he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And we find later in the chapter that Demetrius the silversmith stirs up a riot. He doesn't want to listen to the truth. And so we find this happening in the life of Paul. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, when Paul was preaching to Felix. Felix heard the truth, but he didn't want to make a change. And Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me." So he clearly understood the message. He just did not want to do anything with it. And then in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, when Paul was preaching to Agrippa, Paul said, "With but little persuasion, thou wouldest fain make me a Christian." Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." So he was just almost persuaded, but he was not altogether persuaded. What's happening with these individuals? The problem is not the message. The problem is not that the message is unclear. The problem is not that the message is confusing, or there's something wrong with the messenger that is keeping the truth from coming out. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his apostles, Peter and John, Paul. We're talking about Stephen, a great gospel preacher. The problem lies in the hearts of those who are hearing the message. They do not have an honest and good heart. They're not willing to change their life. They don't love the truth enough to change their life. They want to stay in their sinful lifestyle, and they find it easier to ignore the message, walk off, or try to actively get rid of the messenger. And that's one reason why Jesus went to the cross, was they didn't like him and they wanted him gone. So they killed Stephen. They beheaded James, Acts chapter 12, verse 1. They put Paul in prison. They put Peter and John in prison. They put Jesus on a cross. And really, it's been going on even long before that. You can look at some of the Old Testament prophets that were persecuted. I think about Jeremiah, who was thrown in a pit He was put in a dungeon. They didn't like what he had to say. In Jeremiah chapter 11, there was a conspiracy made against Jeremiah to try to kill him. And they just did not want the truth of God's word. So we're talking about those who are not honest and good. Friend, we have to look at ourselves. And when we hear God's word, we have to ask ourselves, do we believe it and obey it? Or do we exercise dishonesty and just in our mind try to ignore what is going on and not do anything with it? I want to talk about some, before we close this morning, I want us to talk about some signs, some indications that we really are and really do have an honest and good heart. What are some signs and indications that we want to be honest and truthful with the Word of God? Well, let's list several. Number one, do I seek truth in all matters of my life? Do I want to know the truth of God's Word, or am I just willing to settle for what my friends say, what society says, what an expert says, or do I really want truth? And I'm not just going to accept what any preacher says about this or that, because even preachers, myself included, could mislead somebody. It has to come straight from the good book, the Bible, to be truth. And so do I really love truth? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, when Paul was preaching in Thessalonica, he writes and says, when you received from us, the apostles, the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. They did not accept it as the word of men. They accepted it as truth. They loved truth. We have to love truth. If we don't love truth, then we're going to believe a lie. Adam and Eve, back in Genesis chapter 3, God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of it, you will die. In Genesis 3, 1 through 5, the devil comes and says, you will not die. He told them a lie. And they believed that lie. They went ahead and did what the devil said. Do we love truth, or will we just settle for believing a lie? And Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about they that have not a love for the truth, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I don't want truth. I just want to keep living my pleasurable, unrighteous life. So one sign is that we always seek truth from God's word in all matters. A second sign is that we investigate before making a decision and an action. We investigate. When Paul was preaching in Berea in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. They investigated it. And don't just take my word. When I preach each Sunday morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, open your Bible and follow along. Read the verses as I am reading them and talking about them, and see for yourself if I am twisting the scripture or using it in the right way. You have to investigate before making a decision. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10 that we must distinguish the things that differ. Not everything is truth, and we have to be able to ferret out or pull out that which is wrong and separate it from that which is right. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to test or prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. We're going to have to test things and prove things, and that includes from those who are close, friends, family, maybe someone at church. There are people who give counsel about a lot of different kinds of things, and sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not true. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we have to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, test the spirits or the prophets or the teachers to see if they are of God. John says that there are many who have gone out, and the Antichrist and others who are not teaching truth. And so we have to put that to the test, you see. And the way we do that is we open our Bible and we see if what is being said is the very word of God or somebody changing that to fit their opinion or tradition or their own philosophy. So number one, seek truth in all matters. Number two, investigate God's word before making a decision. Number three, we need to desire harmony in what is written in the Bible. In other words, we must take what is said and be willing to look at that and make sure that it matches up with all of what God says. We're not just going to take one thing that is said, but how does that match up with everything in the Word of God? Sometimes preachers will preach on a particular matter and they will emphasize, for example, they'll emphasize faith and then they'll downplay baptism. Or they'll emphasize loving Jesus and they'll downplay being a member of His church. And so there are different kinds of things like that. We need to harmonize and balance all truths that are in the Word of God. When Peter came to preach at Cornelius, Cornelius said, "We are all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord." We want to hear the whole counsel of God. We want to hear everything the Bible says on a particular matter before we make up our mind. And so I want what I'm hearing to harmonize with what I'm reading elsewhere in the Word of God. That's a part of being honest. In Acts chapter 18, and verse 26, Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos the way of God more accurately. He had some good information. He just did not have all of God's truth. And he was out preaching, and some of the things that he was saying was right, but there were some things that he was saying that was not completely accurate. And he had to hear more of God's word. And when he got all of that, then he went out later and accurately taught those things from the scriptures. And so maybe in the past we've heard some things in the Bible or have heard some topics, but we haven't heard everything that God has to say about, for example, the plan of salvation or the Lord's church. And we have to be honest about all of what the Bible teaches. Sometimes people are in religions and they've got their minds made up because they've only heard part of the story. They haven't heard all of what the Word of God says. Sometimes they'll accept it, but sometimes they'll be dishonest and they'll say, "Preacher, I don't want to hear anything else. I'm satisfied with the way I was raised and I'm okay with that and I don't want to hear anything else." Well, that's not being honest. Another sign or characteristic or attribute of honesty is the willingness to get help in understanding the Word of God. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch who was riding along the way, reading from the book of Isaiah, Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. And when Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" he said, "How can I except one guide me?" I want help. I want to learn more of God's word. And again, Apollos in Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, he allowed Priscilla and Aquila to study with him. So we have to be open-minded. We have to open our Bibles, we have to open our minds, and we have to open up our schedules to have time to look at God's Word. That is honesty. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans, it said that they examined the Scriptures with readiness of mind. They examined the Scriptures daily. Look at the three things that are open there. Readiness of mind, they had an open mind. Examining the Scriptures, they had an open Bible, and then daily, they had an open schedule, time, in order to search the Scriptures. If you'll keep an open mind and an open Bible, reading it, and an open schedule, it's going to take more than just one sitting, then we will honestly come to the truth of God's Word and obey it in our life. Another characteristic of honesty is that as soon as we hear the truth and learn it, that we repent as soon as we're convicted of any wrong. when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. They were pricked in the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And then he told them, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." Verse 41, "They that gladly received his word were baptized that day." There was a conviction and there was an immediate desire to repent and change. We're not just going to hear the truth and then turn around and do nothing about that. So honesty will quickly make that change. We won't make excuses. We won't procrastinate. We won't delay. We won't try to talk our way out of what we need to be doing. We just simply repent and turn around and make a change, and then we obey the Word of God. We obey divine commands. That's another characteristic of honesty. We obey the commands. And so when Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized," in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, a few verses later, they did that very thing. When Paul was preaching in Philippi in the same hour of the night, the jailer was baptized when he preached to him. And we have this kind of thing over and over again in the Word of God. We just immediately have a change of heart, and we're convicted that we need to change, and then we go out and obey what God wants us to do. And for someone who's not had their sins washed away, that means they need to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If we will be honest, we will do that. If we're dishonest, then again, we either walk off and do nothing. When Jesus preached to the rich young ruler and told him what he must do to inherit eternal life, there in Matthew chapter 19, he just walked away sorrowful. He was not honest. He knew what he needed to do, but he just walked away. Some people ignore it, and that's how they satisfy their conscience. They just ignore it, and the feeling of truth eventually goes away. Some fight it. Some make excuses. Some, like we studied earlier in today's lesson, they might even get mad and angry. Some try to get rid of the speaker, like Stephen, stoning him to death. But people react in a number of ways when they're dishonest. But when they're honest, they're convicted of wrong, they change, they obey. And then, last of all, the last characteristic is that they walk daily in the light of truth, and they practice the Word of God. They bear fruit daily for the Lord, John 15 and verse 8. They hear the gospel and obey it, and they stand in it and follow it each day. They are hearers of the Word, as well as doers of the Word, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. They walk in truth, 2 John 4, 3 John verse 3. And they just honestly live by the Word of God. Friend, do you have a good and honest heart? If not, you need to change that this morning. If you do, then you'll go out and obey the truth. And if we can help you, that'll be great. Waiting to change until you are on your deathbed is risky business. An honest and good heart will make the necessary changes today. And if we can help you to do that, please make contact with us. Come worship with us. Come study with us. Let me come study with you in the comfort of your home. I'd be glad to do that. And have a good and honest heart, and we can obey God together. Thank you for listening this morning for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program.